Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light the darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for now it is evening. Let your light scatter the darkness.
And shine within your people.
O God, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give,
that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments,
and that we may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Our Son, we will for you.
our prayers come before you, O God, as incense. And may your light and love surround and fill us, so that with pure and renewed minds we may sing your praises with the whole church on earth and all creation. We glorify you now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Lila, I said, my hand soft on the hard wood of the casket. The wind blew off the river and stirred the trees that stood on the little knoll where we had gathered, a small group of people surrounding a box too full and a hole too empty. The breeze caressed us and tugged at us at the same time, and I couldn't tell if it was bringing us God's Spirit or somehow taking one of our own to God. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming, I continued reading from the funeral service. It felt different. Maybe because I get so used to doing funerals for church members, and there our roles are so defined and certain. I am the pastor, there to give comfort and support and love and hope and peace to those who remain. That's what I'm used to. But this was different. Different because this wasn't a church member I was burying, but a close friend's mother. And here I was the pastor to be sure, but I was also more. And the words I spoke were more than usual words I needed to hear. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. I finished the commendation and let my hand linger on the casket for a moment. A last silent goodbye. Then I turned toward the mourners to invite them to pray before we committed her body to the ground. And it was then that I saw him. He stood there out of place, in fact, standing a little apart from all the others, his dark complexion and his worker's clothes in stark contrast to our white faces in coat and tie. And standing there, he had his eyes fixed on me, solid and steady and never wavering. And his face kept breaking out into a huge, wide smile, although I could see he was trying to force it away and adhere to the somber nature of the burial. But it wasn't working. And I watched him take his hand and wipe his mouth, trying to drive the smile away. I didn't know him, at least as far as I could recall, although something about him seemed vaguely familiar. Maybe he was some high school friend I hadn't seen in years, I considered. And then I went on with the burial, his eyes still locked on me and that smile still on his face. It felt more than different. It felt disconcerting. When the service was over, I mingled with my friends and met some others who had known Lila. I didn't see the stranger, but I knew he was there. I could feel his eyes on me. Finally, we got ready to go, and I waited while the funeral home family car pulled away, and then I headed to my car. And there, standing in the shade of the trees, there he was again, his smile so big that it seemed to cut into his cheeks. "Hi," I said, holding out my hand. "I'm afraid you'll have to tell me who you are." He took my hand, and at the moment he spoke, I knew who he had to be.
"Howdy, Reverend," he said, still smiling. "You ain't never met me before, but..."
"I know your father," I finished for him, and he smiled even bigger.
"Yep,"
he said. I remembered well the older version of the young man before me. It had been about 6 or 7 years ago when I had first met the gravedigger in a cemetery after the burial and had found myself walking through the tombstones and talking about life and death. I remembered so many things he had said, things like how the cemetery put life into perspective for him, how the world looked different from the bottom of a grave. And I remembered the time he had shown me the oldest grave in the cemetery, all sunk in and shallow, and how he told me it was his favorite because it showed that the grave was empty and that the person was gone to God. Yes, I remembered his father well. "How is he?" I asked.
"Fine,"
the young man replied, his voice sounding so much like his father's.
"He still digs graves up there. But me, I got a job doing the same thing right here. And Reverend, I was supposed to be doing another hole right now. But when I saw your name on the list for doing this one, I switched and came here instead. 'Cause my daddy told me about you."
"Oh," I said, wondering if our conversations had meant half as much to him as they had to me.
"He likes you a lot, Reverend. Says you've been real good to him."
"I like him too," I said.
"Reverend, can I ask you something?"
The smile was gone now, and I wondered at this family and its mysterious connection to me. "Sure," I answered.
"Well, Reverend,"
he said, shifting his weight from foot to foot,
"I want to ask you about my sister. You know, she died when she was just 16.
"I remember your father telling me about her. I even visited her grave with him," I said.
"Well, Reverend,"
he continued,
"what I want to know is, what's death like? I think about her all the time, and I wonder what it was like for her to die."
"Well, you know, I wasn't there when she died," I said. "But I have been with other people when they died. And most of the time, it really looks like they just go to sleep."
"Do you think death hurts, Reverend?"
he went on. I thought a minute before I answered. "Well, I've seen some people who were in pain because of injuries or illnesses before they died, but I don't think that death itself hurt. In fact, usually when a person dies, It looks like they've been released from pain. I paused for a moment. Sometimes I tell people that I see death as a healing. Sometimes I think we're so sick that we can't be healed back to this life. And then I think of death as being healed to God. I paused again, and he nodded his head silently, expecting more. I said, I think if death hurts anyone, it hurts those of us left behind.
That's it, Reverend, he said. I think about my sister, and sometimes I'm okay with it, but sometimes it still hurts so bad.
How long ago did she die? I asked.
Next month will be 9 years, he answered.
You know, I said, I don't think you ever really get over it. I think the pain is always there. Sometimes, no matter what you do, it's so fresh and new and real, even years later. Time helps you live with it, but it can still hurt. To me, that's one of the best parts of our faith, because in those times when it hurts, God is with us to help us through. And in those times when it hurts, it helps to know your sister is with God.
I think about that a lot, Reverend, he said, especially at family dinners. It's sad, too, because we miss her there. But I just look around at all the food and say, Sis, one day I'm going to be sitting down to God's banquet table with you. Do you believe that, Reverend? Do you believe we'll see each other and know each other in heaven?
I sure do, I answered. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to. We stood there for a moment, and then he offered to walk me to my car. We weaved our way between the tombstones, and I noticed that he would sometimes put out his hand and touch one or another of them. Then suddenly, he stopped.
You know, Reverend, I get to see all the stones in here, but this one's my favorite.
I looked, and there was a fairly normal headstone with the person's name and dates on it. But underneath it all were two words in quotation marks. Always remembered, it said.
I like this one, Reverend, he said, because it tells me that God remembers me.
The breeze blew off the river and touched us like the hand of God. I reached out my hand and shook his. It was good to meet you, I said. Please tell your father hello for me.
I will, Reverend,
he said, smiling again. And then he turned and headed off. I waited there under the tree for what I hoped would come, and I wasn't disappointed. As he walked away, like his father, I heard his voice on the wind.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Of all, with wonderful diversity of languages and cultures, you created all people in your image. Free us from prejudice and fear, that we may see your face in the faces of people around the world.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of compassion, whose Son became poor for our sake, help us to see the face of Christ in those who are poor, and in serving them, to serve you.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of healing, you became one of us in Jesus and know our frailties. Help us to see the face of Christ in those who are ill and suffering, and reach out in compassion to help your work to restore them to health and wholeness.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of comfort, you still the storms of life and give peace to your people. Help us to see the face of Christ in those who are fearful, those who are troubled, those afflicted with mental illness or addictions, those who are depressed or full of anxiety. And may we embody understanding and seek ways to offer peace and safety.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of warmth, you have eagerly sought us and have opened your arms to welcome us even when we have strayed far from you. Help us to see the face of Christ in all those in need of welcome in our world, even when we struggle to do so, and to open our arms to them and help them embrace a new future.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of all-encompassing love, you love us so much that you sent your Son to live and die for us. Help us to see the face of Christ in all those who seem unlovable and to embrace them as we would embrace you. God of peace, you call us to live in peace not only internally with you, but also with each other and among nations. Help us to see the face of Christ in those with whom we struggle and disagree, and lead us to work together to the higher calling of mutual understanding and love.
Light of the world, send us out.
God of all people, you have made us, and you have made us yours. Help us to show the face of Christ to others, so that in all things we may reflect the light of the world in our lives.
Light of the world, send us out.
Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith in the midst of the storms and roads of life, in our pilgrimage knowing only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray. Amen.